You forget the names. You let the forms of things go. You go straight to the reality. I'm going to be going pretty soon now. If you want to find out where, you ought to do as I say. I say as he does. You must be a lord of men to be a lord of life. You have to find the secret. I could tell you its name, but what's a name? A name isn't real. The real forever. Dragons can't go there. Dragons die. They all die. I took so much tonight, you'll never catch me. Not a patch on me. Where I get lost, you can lead me. Remember what the secret is? Remember? No death. No death. No. No sweaty bed and rotting coffin. No more. Never. The blood dries up like the dry river and it's gone. No fear. No death. The names are gone and the words and the fear gone. Show me where I get lost. Show me, Lord. So he went on, in a choked rapture of words that was like the chanting of a spell, and yet made no spell, no whole, no sense. Aaron listened, striving to understand. If only he could understand. Sparrowhawk should do as he said and take the drug this once so that he could find out what Hare was talking about, the mystery that he would not or could not speak. Why else were they here? But then Aaron looked from Hare's ecstatic face to the other profile. Perhaps the mage understood already. Hard as rock, that profile. Where was the snubbed nose, the bland look? Hawk the sea trader was gone, forgotten. It was the mage, the archmage, who sat there. Hare's voice now was a crooning mumble, and he rocked his body as he sat cross-legged. His face had grown haggard and his mouth slack. Facing him in the tiny, steady light of the oil lamp set on the floor between them, the other never spoke, but he had reached out and taken Hare's hand, holding him. Aaron had not seen him reach out. There were gaps in the order of events, gaps of non-existence. Drowsiness, it must be. Surely some hours had passed. It might be near midnight. If he slept, would he too be able to follow Hare into his dream and come to the place, the secret way? Perhaps he could. It seemed quite possible now. But he was to guard the door. He and Sparrowhawk had scarcely spoken of it, but both were aware that in having them come back at night, Hare might have planned some ambush. He had been a pirate. He knew robbers. They had said nothing, but Aaron knew that he was to stand guard, for while the mage made this strange journey of the spirit, he would be defenseless. But like a fool, he had left his sword on board the boat, and how much good would his knife be if that door swung suddenly open behind him? But that would not happen. He could listen and hear. Hare was not speaking anymore. Both men were utterly silent. The whole house was silent. Nobody could come up those swaying stairs without some noise. He could speak, if he heard a noise. Shout aloud, and the trance would break, and Sparrowhawk would turn and defend himself and Aaron with all the vengeful lightning of a wizard's rage. When Aaron had sat down at the door, Sparrowhawk had looked at him, only a glance, approval. Approval and trust. He was the guard. There was no danger if he kept on guard. But it was hard. Hard to keep watching those two faces, the little pearl of the lamp flame between them on the floor, both silent now. both still, their eyes open but not seeing the light or the dusty room, not seeing the world, but some other world of dream or death. To watch them, and not to try to follow them. There in the vast, dry darkness, there one stood beckoning. Come, he said, the tall Lord of Shadows. In his hand he held a tiny flame no larger than a pearl, held it out to Arryn, offering life. Slowly, Arryn took one step toward him, following. Dry. His mouth was dry. There was the taste of dust in his mouth. His lips were covered with dust. Without lifting his head from the floor, he watched the shadow play. There were the big shadows that moved and stooped, swelled and shrank, and fainter ones that ran around the walls and ceiling swiftly, mocking them. There was a shadow in the corner and a shadow on the floor, and neither of these moved. The back of his head began to hurt. At the same time, what he saw came clear to his mind in one flash, frozen in an instant. Hare slumped in a corner with his head on his knees. Sparrowhawk sprawled on his back. A man kneeling over Sparrowhawk. Another tossing gold pieces into a bag. A third standing watching. The third man held a lantern in one hand and a dagger in the other. Arryn's dagger. If they talked, he did not hear them. He heard only his own thoughts, which told him immediately and unhesitatingly what to do. He obeyed them at once. He crawled forward very slowly a couple of feet, darted out his left hand and grabbed the bag of loot, leapt to his feet and made for the stairs with a hoarse yell. He plunged downstairs in the blind dark without missing a step, without even feeling them under his feet, as if he were flying. He broke out onto the street and ran full speed into the dark. The houses were black hulks against the stars. Starlight gleamed faintly on the river to his right, and though he could not see where the streets led, he could make out street crossings and so turn and dive.